basketball. Ariza will pick him up. Wade lost it. Ariza picked his pocket. Ariza stops at the three-point line.
Why not?
Trevor Ariza. What was that other guy's name?
Who? I forgot.
I did too.
I like a Ariza.
I did too. 19 points. 13-0 Houston run.
Yeah, I think that other guy's name was Chandler Parsons. Anyway, it's been 2 years. We can be nice to Chandler again. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into another Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and this is the Daily Show, the only Daily Show taking you inside the Houston Rockets and giving you the scoop on everything that's going on with your favorite team. We're part of the Locked on Podcast Network. And really, we decided to lead off with Trevor Ariza because if you've been listening to this week's shows, one of the main themes is just how important that guy is. We had Brett Koromenos on yesterday, formerly a Grantland writer, now with Real GM, doing his preview of the Rockets after their offseason moves. And he said that Ariza, given his defensive versatility, is the most indispensable player on the entire Houston roster after the obvious, which is James Harden. So, we're leading off this show. It's felt like a perfect place to start because I think we're going to talk some more today about these last two interviews. We had Shlomo Sprung of National NBA columnist for the comeback and awful announcing on Tuesday, kind of ranking where the Rockets stand in the West. And then we had Brett Koromenos of Real GM on yesterday. And these are some great interviews, but I don't want to bombard you guys with too much too soon. I know the concept of a daily podcast is still fairly new, so I want to give it time to breathe and give everybody a chance to catch up. If you haven't heard those interviews yet, I very much encourage you to do so. And so for today, I kind of want to talk about basically what they said and what our takeaways are as we look forward to the rest of the offseason and the last 2 months for Daryl Morey as he tries to get the team ready for training camp and, of course, the 2016-2017 season. And while both of the podcasts were pretty positive, both Shlomo and Brett feel good about Mike D'Antoni, they feel good about what the Rockets are doing, it's not like they were just unabashedly positive and think this is a contender. Both of them had big X factors as far as weaknesses for the team and what they've got to prove if they are going to be a playoff team, and not just a playoff team, but a good one the way many Rockets fans hope. With Shlomo, it was the defense. He pointed out that right now it looks like the Rockets are built to be a 120-115-point team that wins games by outscoring opponents rather than grinding them. Whereas Brett was a lot more understanding of the defensive issues and thought they could work through them. His bigger concern was adding another scorer, someone else who can create his own offense, because while they did add Eric Gordon to potentially reduce the workload for James Harden, it does not change the roster dramatically. It's one guy, and a guy that's had injury concerns at that. So I don't think that need has gone away. The Rockets have mitigated it somewhat, but it's still there. And so for this podcast, I want to, you know, explore those things and see what the Rockets can do for the remainder of this offseason. Now, I want to quickly recap what the Rockets have done this offseason. So far, there have not been any trades. Everything they've done has been through free agency and the draft. And quite simply, it's because they could. They went into free agency with $40 million in room, and they spent it on Anderson, Gordon, and the renegotiation for James Harden. And then they signed an A for the room exception. So it's not that they haven't been looking at trades. On the contrary, I think there's been clear evidence that they have. We heard that the Rockets were very much in the mix for Andrew Bogut, and had he chose to go to Houston, they would have acquired him and his one-year $11 million salary. And unless you're silly enough to believe that the Rockets valued Andrew Bogut at one-year $11 million over an extended James Harden, the obvious conclusion is that the Rockets had a deal to trade out salary elsewhere to still make room for the Harden extension had they gotten Bogut. So it's not that Daryl Morey hasn't looked at trades, it's just one that hasn't made sense. They've been able to upgrade their team through the money in free agency, and so far, so good. But there are still these weaknesses, and now with the team virtually capped out, most people expect Giannis Antetokounmpo to return, but even if Antetokounmpo went elsewhere and the Rockets didn't match his offer, that $6 million in late July is not going to go very far in free agency. So by and large, if the Rockets are going to further improve this offseason, and they have 7 to 8 weeks to do it before training camp, it's going to have to be by trade. And personally, I feel closer to Brett's viewpoint than Shlomo's. Brett, of course, wanted a combo guard who could score. Shlomo wanted the defense. Personally, I don't see the Rockets going the defensive route. I'm not necessarily saying that whoever they acquire will be a bad defensive player. I just don't expect them to make any sort of defensive-oriented addition in which they're just looking for basically a defensive stopper. Here's why. When you look at how the roster is constructed right now for the Rockets, there are three question marks on the defensive side of the ball. Those are James Harden, Ryan Anderson, and Eric Gordon. Well, Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, they are who they are at this point. They're offense-first players, and you also paid them a combined $133 million. They are going to play, and they are not going to be especially good in the defensive end. You're just going to have to build around those guys. You're not going to sit them on the bench. You're not going to play them 20 minutes a night. You know what their weaknesses are, and the key is to basically build the rest of your roster to where you can compensate for it. And as far as James Harden goes, the Rockets aren't assuming that he's going to be a liability on defense. They actually think he can be an above-average defensive player the way he was in the 2014-2015 season if Anderson and Gordon help to reduce his workload on offense and help him to have the fitness to play at both ends. We've heard he's in great shape. We've heard he's pissed off. And that's great. An angry James Harden that's in peak shape and has more offensive help can hopefully have the stamina to play better defense. But even if he doesn't, this is your franchise player. No matter what, he's going to be one of the top 5 to 10 players in the game, and he's going to play 38 minutes a night. So when you look at those three, it's not like you can trade any of them. Anderson and Gordon can't be traded until December 15th, and of course they're going to get a lot longer than that to fit in. So I would not expect a defensive move, because besides those three guys, I think you feel pretty good about where your roster is defensively. Trevor Ariza and Pat Beverly are both above average defenders and on excellent contracts. Clint Capella, you know, he's not a proven rim protector. You know, you certainly want to make sure he can extrapolate his production from 20 minutes a game out to 30 to 35 minutes. You want to make sure he can handle starters' minutes, but you're not going to be able to do better than Clint Capella for that role. In an ideal world, would you have more proven rim protection? Sure, you would, but for what the Rockets could reasonably get at the center position by free agency or trade, you're not going to be able to do any better than Clint Capella. Your best shot at developing a rim protector is just going to be to have faith in Clint Capella and continue to work with him. And then when you look at the bench, Nene, KJ McDaniels, Corey Brewer all bring something to the table. Even Brewer, who a lot of people, you know, disrespect his defense, can still bring you a lot in the form of steals and energy and playing the passing lanes. I just, other than the three guys, Harden, Anderson, and Gordon, who are going to play no matter what, your three highest paid players on the team, you're not going to replace them. And then the other guys are pretty much all above average on defense. So I don't see where the Rockets would go if they want to get more defense. They're just going to have to trust that Capella takes the next step, and they're going to need to work with Harden to see what he needs to do to be better on that end. There's just not a whole lot else they could do. Now, theoretically, you could make a move later on involving Anderson or Eric Gordon if you decide the team's overall roster composition is too tilted towards offense. But that's not going to happen now. You know, you're going to give Anderson and Gordon a chance to work with Harden. You're going to see what happens. And, you know, if closer to the trade deadline or in a year from now, you think that maybe you've invested too much on offense and you need to get more defense, you could potentially reallocate. But that time isn't now. Right now, you are what you are. And outside of those top three guys, I think you feel pretty good about where you are defensively. So while a player they acquire, if they were to, might not be a bad defensive player, what I'm saying is I don't think it's going to be the focus. You're not going to be a great defensive team, but there's just not a whole heck of a lot you can do about it this offseason. I do agree with Brett that you can bring in a combo guard who can score, because that need after Eric Gordon is still there. You know, Gordon, he alleviates some of the pressure from James Harden, but not all of it. And especially with Gordon's injury history, I do think the Rockets would love to bring in someone else that could create their own shot, because you have a lot of guys, the Pat Beverly, Trevor Ariza, Pablo Prigioni mold of, they do certain things very well, but they are not able to freelance. They are not able to create your offense. And so when it comes to making Harden a better defensive player, you need more guys like Eric Gordon that are going to be able to help him. And I don't think you're necessarily needing a pure point guard. I agree with Brett on that, because with Harden here, we've heard how Mike D'Antoni has talked about James Harden. James Harden is going to be your point guard for a lot of this year. So I think the template is more of the Sean Livingston mold in Golden State, Livingston does play, quote, point guard sometimes, but more or less he has the length to play multiple positions. He's versatile. I think you're going to see a lot more in the Mike D'Antoni system of positionless basketball. You're going to have your ball handlers, your shooters, and your bigs. And as long as you have a decent complement of guys, they can play any number of positions. And so do the Rockets need a backup point guard per se? No, but I think they could use one more creator. And so if they were to look elsewhere, that is a need. We heard a month or so ago that they might be interested in Lou Williams. Now, Lou Williams is 6'1". He doesn't have the length, but I do think he would fit the type of role that Brett was talking about, a combo guard who is a little more towards the shooting guard because of his ability to create his own shots. But you don't have to necessarily make a trade to do that. The good thing is that you can find guys like that in the D League. You can monitor and, you know, just bring in a pure scorer, someone that can create his offense. You know, this is a joke, but I saw Von Wafer tweeting yesterday about wanting one more shot in the NBA. And, of course, Von Wafer is way too old at this point. You know, the version the Rockets need is the one they had 7 years ago. But he's an example of a guy who did not have a high profile, but they were able to find him. So even if it's not a high-profile name, it's a need that the Rockets have, and they're going to monitor it. If they could get it by trade, that's great, but there are other avenues. And I know some people will point out Sam Decker, because Decker in the summer league was a pretty good candidate creating his own shot, but he is more of a 3/4. I think he's going to fit that mold when you play small ball, especially if you can put him at the four and do some things on the floor. I don't think he's going to fill that speed need that they have, that ability to break down the defense from the outside and just athletically beat guys with their quickness. I think he's more of a small ball four, a backup three to Trevor Ariza. And then, of course, you're also going to have Ariza playing some small ball four as well. But I don't think Decker's going to fill that need. I think you'd like one more speed player, that's what I'll say, that can kind of create his own offense. It's not going to be easy because, as we said when they signed Pablo Prigioni, they could have gone after Jarrett Jack or Aaron Brooks, and I think they didn't because they were worried about, you know, well, what if these guys don't fit in and they're expecting playing time? Does that hurt the chemistry? You know, you got to find the fit on a lot of levels, but the need is there, and they're going to look at trades as well as potential signings, maybe under the radar guys, as Brett alluded to in our chat with him yesterday. Besides that, of course, Daryl Morey is going to be in the market for bigger names. We haven't heard much traction on bigger names, but we have heard rumors here and there the past few months that guys like Eric Bledsoe, Ricky Rubio, even Boogie Cousins and Paul Millsap are guys that the Rockets are interested in. And we haven't heard a lot lately, but it doesn't mean nothing is happening because you know Daryl Morey is always making calls. Now, it seems more likely that these guys were to get dealt. If they are, it would be during the season, but you never know. One angle that has not been discussed enough, at least that I've seen with the Rockets in recent days, is the impact of Harden's renegotiated contract and why it's going to make them more of a player, or it could make them more of a player. And it's because now you have the flexibility to deal with future first-round picks. Before Harden's renegotiation, I don't think Daryl Morey was willing to deal future first-round picks because what happens if Harden were to leave and then you were to need to rebuild? You would essentially be where the Brooklyn Nets are now, which is purgatory. You'd be in hell. And now that you have Harden locked up through at least 2019, probably a lot longer, you feel a lot better about your future and the fact that if you give up a first-round pick, it's not going to be a top 5 or top 10 selection. And if it's not, Daryl Morey, while he likes those picks, he's not he's not opposed to giving them up under the right circumstances. He gave one up for Ty Lawson, and when the team could have tanked this past year to miss the playoffs and keep that pick, he was willing to make the playoffs even as an 8 seed and see what happened. So I do think now that the Rockets know that they're not ever going to be really bad, barring, you know, Harden suffering a crazy injury, assuming that doesn't happen, this is not ever going to be a bad team for the foreseeable future. So you could see them put their first-round picks on the market the same way they did a few years back when they started putting the pieces together to trade for James Harden. They traded the pick that they got from Toronto for Kyle Lowry. And, of course, in this, it'd be their own pick picks that they would have going forward. But that's an option now. I don't think people realize just how precarious the Rockets situation was just a few weeks ago. If Harden had not been willing to send that signal that he wants to stick around, things would have been very tense at Toyota Center. If they had underachieved this year, you would have had to start thinking about dealing Harden as early as the 2017 trade deadline. You know, that'd be the peak value because a team could get two playoff runs with him. And if not then, definitely in the summer of 2017. Because it looked ugly for a while before Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon signed, when it looked like the Rockets were not going to get any top free agents and Harden had the ability to leave in 2018. It could have gotten really dicey to the point where you would have to trade Harden if he weren't willing to re-sign. And then at that point, it basically cuffs you to your first-round picks because those become so important that you can't possibly deal them. Well, now, because Harden is extended, you have the ability to deal those first-round picks if the right deal comes up. And folks don't... I don't think people realize how much that changes the Rockets' trade profile. We looked at the Rockets in June when there were all these trade rumors with bigger names, Nerlens Noel and, you know, Jahlil Okafor and, you know, even Boogie Cousins when that was discussed briefly. And people pointed out that the Rockets, you know, they've got a few pieces. Beverly and Ariza are veterans who aren't too old and are on nice contracts. KJ McDaniel, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell are interesting young players, but they just don't have that star to make it come together. You know, the Rockets have a lot of B-list assets that are pretty good, and they could package a few of those together. We've talked about a potential consolidation trade before, but they just didn't have that headliner. Well, now all of a sudden, if you throw in a couple of first-round picks, those first-round picks are your headliners. Does it necessarily make the Rockets at the forefront of any trade discussions? No, but it could get them in the game. Now with Harden, his future secure, you do feel like you can move those guys. And the other thing to consider, don't overanalyze the importance of cap space. The key thing to remember with these deals is cap flexibility and not cap space. Right now, the Rockets aren't slated to have max cap room to go after Russell Westbrook next summer, but all of you guys know that if he's on the market, the Rockets absolutely will pursue him, and they absolutely could clear the room because they have guys like Beverly and Ariza with positive trade value. As long as someone the Rockets trade for has a decent contract, I don't think Daryl Morey is going to pass up an opportunity to improve the team because he will only trade for an expiring deal. As long as the player has positive value on his current deal, I think Daryl Morey would take the risk. So when it goes to those bigger names, the situations that are worth monitoring, I'll go back to Eric Bledsoe, Ricky Rubio, Boogie Cousins, Paul Millsap. You haven't heard anything concrete connecting those guys to the Rockets in a while, just a few whispers, and we know that their contract situations or other things, in Boogie Cousins' case, make their situations a little unstable. It's not that I'm expecting the Rockets to go after one of those deals. I'm just saying keep an open mind to it because Daryl Morey's got 8 weeks now. He can continue to work, continue to build. There's not going to be a lot of pressure, so he can work these negotiations behind the scenes. And with Harden's future secure, I think you're going to see Morey be much more aggressive in putting the type of team around him. Another guy I should have mentioned was Rudy Gay. We've heard little whispers about the Rockets potentially going after him. I do think it's interesting that some of these guys are fours because I thought Brett from Real GM had an excellent point with us yesterday that as he sees it right now, the Rockets' closing lineup could be Pat Beverly, Eric Gordon, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, and Clint Capella. Basically, he's not sold on Ryan Anderson being a closer because of his lack of defensive ability, specifically with his lack of quickness. He thinks that that could be exposed the same way the Cavs have had to sit Kevin Love at various points of their playoff games in the past couple of years. So if that's the case, the Rockets could use another player up front or a guard because if that's the case, you basically have Harden as your three. So, and Gordon as your starting two, now he's not actually going to be starting, but for purposes of your finishing lineup, I'm going to call him a starter. So sure, you could use more depth behind Gordon. You could also potentially use another front court piece because right now the only true big in that lineup is Clint Capella, who's fairly unproven. So there are potential holes. I could see them looking at a forward. Paul Millsap, Rudy Gay, those are names that are interesting. And, you know, if they're under contract, even if you want Ryan Anderson to start, you could bring him off the bench. And you know what? They're under contract. It's not like they're going to leave you because their ego's bruised. You know, you would have time to figure it out. So while it's not likely they could consider that route, also that's why they could still get another shooting guard. Even if you think, well, Eric Gordon and James Harden are both shooting guards. Well, if Harden's playing a lot of point guard and small forward, then Gordon a lot of the time is going to be your only two, and you can use another creator. So there are holes, there are avenues to improve the team. We'll see if they do it. There aren't many concrete rumors out there right now. But all I'm trying to say is that it's possible. Keep your eyes peeled to Twitter, because Daryl Morey never rusts. He's never going to be the guy that says, you know what, my roster is good to go. Even though the Rockets do have a fairly balanced roster now, and they could report to training camp the way they're currently constructed, and I think be definitely a playoff team, if not a 4 or 5 seed, you know he's going to consider his options, and there's a lot that can still potentially be done. So keep your eyes peeled. There's more to be seen. And again, if you haven't seen our prior interviews the past couple days, I urge you to do it. Brett Corominos of Real GM, he was with us on Wednesday, and Shlomo Sprung of The Comeback and Awful Announcing, national NBA columnist, he was there on Tuesday, and you can get your fix of basically how they view the Rockets and what they view the team's needs as moving forward. With that said, I think that's a good time to wrap up this podcast. We've covered a lot of ground in terms of trade targets and recapping what we've heard the last few days, but we are not done for the week just yet. We are the only daily podcast covering the Rockets, so that means we'll be back with you tomorrow on Friday. And we want to close this out with a Twitter mailbag. So as we said yesterday, send in your question to us. We've already got a few good ones, and we'd be happy to get more. We want to be your voice. We want to be the bridge between what's going on at Toyota Center and what you're seeing on your Twitter accounts. So if we can take you closer to the team, that's what we want to do. We thank you for finding us however you are. But I want to remind everybody that we're on pretty much all the platforms now. We have our general audio boom feed, which is what I tend to tweet out. But we're also on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're getting put on Google Play today. We're on Pod Directory. So whatever your convenience, the odds are you can find us. Just search Locked On Rockets. That's the name of the show. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can email us at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com for any longer questions or advertising inquiries. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at Ben Dubose, where I basically live and am accessible all the time. So if you guys have questions, thoughts, ideas for the show, don't hesitate to let me know. Also, one last thing I want to give you guys a heads up on, because we're all Houston sports fans. This is a great community in Houston. Keep your eyes peeled, because we are going to be launching Locked On Texans very soon. Aaron Wilson, Texans beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, has agreed to do that show. So pretty soon, he's going to be doing for the Texans basically the same thing that I'm doing here for the Rockets, giving you a daily quick roundup of the lead stories with the team and what you can expect. So it's not ready quite yet, but I think once training camp gets rolling next week, I think he'll be good to go. So again, thank you guys all for listening. This show is for you. We thank you for giving it the chance, and we hope that as the sole daily provider of Rockets web content, that we're doing our job for you. So with that said, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Again, this is Ben Dubose, and have a great one, guys.